Welcome back, Turning Hard Times to Good Times. I am your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm really pleased to tell you that Bob Moriarty of 321 Gold fame is with me today. Welcome, Bob, and thank you so much for joining me again.
Well, thank you.
You know, it's really good to have you. Always good to have you. I know you're one of our more popular guests. You and I are pretty much the same age, Bob. We were both young men during the Vietnam War, but we took completely different paths. You were a crackerjack pilot, I believe, in the Marines, and carried out numerous missions over that war-torn country of Vietnam. I, on the other hand, growing up as a Mennonite, took a stand as a conscientious objector and worked in a hospital in Morristown, New Jersey, to meet my selective service obligations under the law. I recall one of the first times that I met up with you in person on a panel discussion at a conference. I think it might have been in Chicago. I felt a little uneasy because I supposed that you, as a military guy, might have some contempt for me as a conscientious objector. But in fact, you, like many folks who have faced firsthand the horrors of war, were not at all angry at me, and I was, you know, always appreciative of that fact, Bob. But here's what I'd like to ask you about. That brings me to, you know, one of the things that I really have on my mind, and that is the war in Ukraine and our government's policies with regard to it. Would you care to comment on how you think things will work out for America if we continue on this course?
Okay, and before I do that, I would like to comment on your service and be absolutely candid. We would still be fighting in Vietnam if it was up to the Marine Corps, the Army. Mm-hmm. The draft dodgers and the resistors and the peaceniks were the heroes. They were the ones who stopped the war. I didn't stop the war. You did. So let me comment on Ukraine, because I am quite familiar with that, and I track it closely. First of all, nobody ever wins a war. That's an important thing for everybody to understand. Mm-hmm. The only thing that happens is that one side loses more than the other. Mm-hmm. Or it's not a soccer match, and it's not mm-hmm. a basketball game. Brilliant leaders do not win wars. Stupid leaders lose wars. And that's another important fact. And when you look at what's going on in Russia and Ukraine and NATO and Lithuania and the U.S., you've got to consider, you've got to match the leadership on both sides. And quite mm-hmm. luckily, Europe has proven itself to be a lapdog for the U.S., and they're doing things that are so contrary to their own interests that I'm shocked. I wrote a piece, I think on March 1st, saying that sanctions were suicide for the EU and for the U.S. and for NATO, and I absolutely believe that's true. The sanctions are total insanity.
Yeah, well, certainly David Stockman was on our show on March 1st, and he said he called it sanctioning. Putin was crazy as hell that it would hurt us as much as it hurt Russia, and it seems to be that may be playing out given the inflation that seems to be. We'll get into that in a little bit, perhaps. But you know, Bob, we are being told that we are taking the moral high grounds by going in there and supporting the Ukrainian effort to keep Putin out. That's what we're supposed to believe, that, you know, that here's what we hear all the time. Freedom has a cost. Democracy isn't free. We have to pay for it. How do you respond to that bit of, let's call it propaganda, perhaps?
Well, strange enough, of course, it is propaganda, and that's exactly the way to label it. Americans are now being lied to by the government in every single thing they're being told. Our political system doesn't work. Our legal system doesn't work. Our education system doesn't work. Certainly, our medical system doesn't work. The military leadership is a total joke. You get awards. I think the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff had 32 attendance medals. Now, the last time I got an attendance medal was a gold star, and I was a kindergartner. But if you compare the leadership of Putin and Russia to that of NATO in the US, it's the difference between day and night. And Russia is absolutely categorically destroying the Ukrainian army. What Zelensky has done by keeping fighting is sacrifice tens of thousands of Ukrainian soldiers. And I got to give these guys credits for them to show up on the front lines. They're putting their life in their hands. This is an amazing war. Anybody who's looked at the videos that have been put out by some of the pro-Russian sites, the Russians' use of artillery is staggering. I was at Da Nang and I was at Quang Tri, and there were probably 10 or 15 times we were hit with 122 millimeter rockets, which they're still using today. And a rocket could hit a mile away. I mean, you could hear the bang, but you certainly weren't under any danger from it. But you didn't know where the next rocket was going to land. So we were all terrified. And of course, we're in bunkers, hoping we don't get hit. What the Ukrainian forces are doing, they're getting hit with 100 times that much. But the use of artillery by the Russians and the use of drones for targeting is really quite interesting. Now, this is a personal opinion. It's not necessarily a fact, but the NATO weapons are nearly useless, and the Russian weapons are scary because they're so effective. Ukraine is very close to losing tactically, and that's an important thing to understand. Ukraine is going to end up being broken into three pieces. The south and the east will belong to Russia. The center will belong to a demilitarized Ukraine, and the west will belong to Poland and Romania.
Well, how much longer do you think the battles will go on before something settles down like that?
Not very long. I would anticipate the Ukrainian soldiers are very close to a revolution because there's just no way anything's going to happen to them except get killed.
Well, why do you think, Bob, why do you think the leaders of NATO really believe the propaganda? Do they really believe that they're doing God's work by going in there and fighting Putin?
No, they're stupid people. Okay, if you listen to Boris Johnson saying it would be a catastrophe if Ukraine lost the war. Well, Ukraine had the alternative in February of admitting that they had lost control of Donbass and Crimea. And if they had said, okay, we're not going to join NATO, which is what the United States promised 30 years ago and lied through their teeth, and if they implemented the Minsk II agreement for 2016, there would have never been a war. This war doesn't exist because of Putin. It exists because of the United States, NATO, and Zelensky. And they're all lying. I mean, it's absolutely staggering to me. You can look at what's happening. It's a totally lopsided, one-sided war.
No, we're not getting that. It's a stalemate, is what we're told, Bob.
It's
That's what.
not stalemate, it's an absolute massacre. I would estimate about 50,000 Ukrainian soldiers have been injured or killed so far, and probably 150,000 have been injured. Nobody's talking about the hospitalization issue in parts of Ukraine that are not being attacked. But quite bluntly, the medical authorities and the hospitals must be up to their ears.
Well, Bob, you've mentioned to me that you think that I think probably more than once I've heard you voice this opinion that what's going on in the Ukraine is all part of a gigantic battle between good and evil. Could you explain your thoughts on that?
Okay. I would highly advise all your listeners to get a copy of The Great Reset and listen to Klaus Schwab and listen to his chief technical officer, because they're saying by 2030, you will own nothing, you will owe nothing, and you'll be happy. Now, why are slaves happy, Jay? And this has always been true. Why are slaves happy?
Well, I suppose because they don't have to worry about anything. They just.
No, because they're slaves, okay? If you're a slave and your master comes up to you and says, "How happy are you today?" "Oh, master, I'm really, 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 really happy." You say that because you're a slave. If you listen to them talk about useless eaters and how we're going to have total control, total surveillance on a constant basis, and they will have the ability literally to shut off your food and money should you disagree with them. It's a scary, scary story. And the funny thing is, it's not a conspiracy. But if you go back, okay, and look at actually what's going on, and this is the military industrial complex in the United States, it's the World Economic Forum in Switzerland, it's the bozos from Davos who believe the 0.1% should control the world, okay? But the climate change hoax, BLM, Antifa, COVID, the Ukrainian war, and now monkeypox, okay, are all part of the battle. And that's from the side of the World Economic Forum. Now, interestingly enough, Putin, along with Merkel and Macron and Trudeau, was part of the World Economic Forum,
Right.
Leaders Forum. Okay, I think there were either 2,800 or 3,800. And Klaus Schwab has bragged about infiltrating many governments. It's certainly true of Canada. Putin listened to their plans and he said, "You know, it's bullshit. I'm not going along with this." So Putin literally is fighting for the freedom of the world. And it's that simple. If Klaus Schwab, Bill Gates, George Soros, Zuckerberg, if those idiots win, we will be slaves.
Well, certainly the technology is in place now, and to a great extent, from what I understand, the Chinese government is using that technology now. I was told by some Chinese people that we know that, in fact, if you don't get tested on a regular basis, whatever, every 2 days or whatever the government says, you will not be able to get on a subway or on a bus or go anywhere, that sort of thing. So the technology is very much in place already to do that. And we started seeing the lockdowns. I think I'd thought of it as sort of a pre-run. The COVID thing is sort of a pre, sort of a pre-run for what might be coming on a much grander scale in the future. Do you see it that way?
I do, but I'm going to tell you, I believe the Great Reset and Klaus Schwab, I believe these people are in absolute panic now. They know they're losing. They know people are waking up to what they're doing. Now, I sent you the link. You know, Biden has already pre-announced the next pandemic.
Yeah, you mentioned that. I don't know if it was something. Was he sort of saying we need to have money because they're always trying to get money for whatever they want, you know? So, do you think he was trying to ginny up some reserves, some money in case something happens, or do you think he really knows something?
Well, here's what's funny. First of all, Joe Biden is senile. He's not a little senile. He is totally, absolutely senile. He is given cue cards that tell him what he's supposed to do and what he's supposed to say. Now, I want you to understand, don't think for a minute that Joe Biden is running the United States. Now, I have no idea who's really pulling the strings, but it isn't Joe Biden. But Biden's funny because he keeps coming out and putting his foot in his mouth. So he was talking about money and pandemics. And he said, we've got to have more money because we've got another pandemic scheduled. And I'm going, Jesus Christ, did he really say that? And of course, his handlers would have had an absolute fit. But he said, yeah, we've got another pandemic. And I thought, this is unbelievable. Of course, they would have told him they've got a pandemic coming, but not realizing the guy's totally clueless. I mean, if you look at Joe Biden now, how could anybody in the world take the United States seriously? And if Joe Biden is stupid enough for you, you've got Kamala Harris.
Reset that you referred to by Klaus Schwab. Is that an art? Is that a book?
It's called The Great Reset, and it was published, I think, in 2020. But even the WHO and the UN have talked about accelerating, using COVID to accelerate the Great Reset. And when you read the book and you see what these people have planned, it's pretty damn scary. I was just absolutely astonished that they make no bones about it. And their chief technical officer, I couldn't even come close to pronouncing his name. When you listen to him, you know you're listening to a monster.
Well, it is disconcerting to say the least. Obviously, what you're telling my listeners here is going to be very controversial because we're being told something completely different. But I think there's obviously a lot of evidence for what you're saying. If people care to look or they want to know, I think it's probably too frightening for a lot of people to contemplate the stuff you're talking about, Bob. But I think it's always better to be aware of what's going on around you than not, so you can prepare for it as best you can. I want to ask you, this whole military-industrial complex, as you say, we'd still be fighting in Vietnam if it hadn't been for resistance at that time. Of course, there was a draft, and rich people got drafted too sometimes, and they didn't like that very much. So I think that one of the reasons that our military-industrial complex, in addition to the fact that it has unlimited funds, basically, because once we went off the gold standard, but one of the reasons they've been able to carry out these wars, endless wars, essentially always in a war somewhere, is because there's no draft. Don't you think that if Nixon took the draft away and that made it possible, and then you have a lot of poor people that don't have the wherewithal and the ability, the education, whatever, to rise above and get good jobs, and so they're, you know, they go into the military.
There's a lot of truth to that, Jay. Let me give you some numbers that are pretty scary and that pretty much illuminate what's really going on. Since the United States was founded, the United States has been at war 91% of the time. Mm-hmm. Since the end of World War II, the United States has been at war 81% of the time. The United States is the most military country in world history. And going back to Putin, the Chinese and the Russians have great reserves of gold, and they certainly are aware of what the plans are for the World Economic Forum because they've read the Great Reset, and they plan for a new reserve currency. The United States and the West has controlled the world for 500 years, and it's a debt-based system. But all debts have to be paid eventually. They get paid either by the borrower or they get paid by the lender. So we have this declining economy. We have a civilization in the West that has just fallen off a cliff. And I'm just so embarrassed at the Europeans because I was really hoping there would be some real leaders who would stand up. And these guys are a bunch of bozos. They're on their knees, hands and knees, kowtowing to the United States, and the United States is leading them down a primrap path. Now, let me read something to you, and this is scary even to me. There was a report Yeah, let me see. It's a German agency, BILD, with reference to a study of analysts of Progos AG. I don't know who they are. The termination of Russian gas supplies will make Germany's GDP fall by 12.5%. Now, that is not a recession. That is a depression. 5.6 million people will lose their jobs. Steel, food, and glass producers will suffer losses in the amount of 48 billion euros. The disruption of supply chains will lead to losses of 144 billion. Now, let me point something out that nobody bothers pointing out. Do we have a shortage of energy?
No.
Absolutely not. Okay. We just have energy in the wrong place. And rather than say, why don't we listen to Russia? Why don't we find out if what they're demanding is reasonable? The United States and NATO took the position of, okay, we've been egging you on to this war for years. Now we've got the war. Okay, we're gonna cripple you economically. There's 195 countries in the world, roughly. How many countries have been affected in a negative way by the sanctions?
No, a lot of them probably, because if it drives the price of oil up, and most countries have to import oil, but there's a lot of them that are playing ball with Russia and China, and they're not being hurt nearly as badly.
No, they're being hurt. Of course, they're being hurt. The cost of fertilizer is up. The cost of natural gas is up. The cost of grain is up. 195 countries in the world, 194 of them have been hurt. Who's the last country?
Russia.
Of course, okay, Russia hasn't been hurt. Now, I said it, and other people said it, and recognized it as soon as the sanctions came out. And the United States is still saying, well, we're not going to buy Russian gold. Well, the United States doesn't buy Russian gold
No,
anyway.
anyway, no, that's true. It's one thing, Bob, that people just don't recognize. It's because it's what we're told all the time, the propaganda. But as Alistair MacLeod has pointed out on this show, Russia has a debt to GDP of 30% compared to our 130%. They got a 17% flat tax, and they have very limited regulatory constraints with regard to production. That's more libertarian than we are by far. So, Bob, we're just about out of time here. My engineer tells me I only have a minute. There's so much more I want to ask you about. There's things to do with supply chain disruptions, urea. There's various things that are really, really important that most people don't have any idea about. So what I'd like to ask is if you would be willing to spend some time with me after the show, because we do have to go now, to record more of your thoughts on these very important issues, and then we'll post it on our website, make it available to all of our listeners as well. Would you be willing to do that?
Yeah, of course I would, Jake.